Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio on the 1st of March 2014. Welcome to another show, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great honour, as always, to have your company. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be exploring some little known and some obscure and some extremely treacherous areas of human activity, of actions and crimes that have been underreported or under-researched, and we're going to attempt to give you some insights into what is really going on. Now, in the second hour, I have a really big interview coming up. Bob Carter, former professor at the James Cook University in Queensland, is coming on to talk to us about climate change and the skeptical viewpoint on climate change. Bob Carter is an expert by any definition. He is extremely qualified to provide an expert opinion on a whole range of issues about the climate. He is one of the world's leading experts in paleoclimatic research. He is actually a geologist by profession, and he has studied climate going back millions of years through the study of geology, through the study of stratigraphy in rocks and other methods. Bob Carter is an extremely eloquent and great speaker, so I really do look forward to having him on the show for the full hour in the second hour of today's show. And of course, the issue of climate is one that just won't go away, and won't go away largely because it is continually being drummed up. It is continually being used by the powers that be to essentially levy money for themselves. Many people may be aware of the recent virtual collapse of the airline Qantas. This is Australia's premier international airline. And we know for certain that the carbon tax had a huge impact on airlines because they were one of the main industries that were affected by it. I don't have details as to the exact effect of that and whether the collapse or whether the massive job layoffs at Qantas is directly connected to that, but it is certainly an interesting development. Of course, the current government in Australia has it as a central plank of their policy that they will be repealing the Carbon Tax Act, but that has not occurred yet. There is still a lot of opposition to repealing it. It did go through the House of Representatives, but it has not been repealed as yet. So still an extremely important topic. And, the carbon tax has been universally, opposed, really, in Australia. There are, of course, a core minority of environmental people who approve of it. But the vast bulk of Australian society has always been against the carbon tax, and that's why it's also been seen as an extremely anti-democratic measure. It's been seen as a form of totalitarianism, and especially the way it was ushered in with lies and deceit from the previous government. Now, in the discussion with Bob Carter, we'll be talking about a report that has been issued by a group known as the Non-Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is a group made up of very qualified and prestigious scientists who directly oppose and directly contradict the findings of the well-known IPCC. So this organization is called the NIPCC. So I do look forward to talking about it. It's going to be an extremely interesting hour. Now, coming up in this hour, I have some fresh news in relation to the Chappelle Corby story, and we're going to be running through some of that. And this, again, is something that I like to keep my eye on. I believe it's extremely important. I believe that anyone who doesn't understand its importance, anyone who scoffs at this topic as if it's just a bit of gossip, you've got your head buried in the sand, if that's what you think. You don't understand the interrelations of this topic, and indeed why it is actually so big in the news. And so I need to continually bring this to the fore, and I need to explain the connections, to explain why it is such a big story and why we must confront the very, very dark and disturbing aspects of our society that are revealed by the way in which Chappelle Corby has been treated in the media. We'll be getting right back to that topic, but let me just run through with you a couple of other topics we'll be considering in today's show. Some interesting revelations have come forward in relation to the material from Edward Snowden, and this is an article I have here published by Glenn Greenwald on the 24th of February 2014. And the article is titled, How Covert Agents Infiltrate the Internet to Manipulate, Deceive, and Destroy Reputations. Now, this research that's come through as a result of material from the Snowden leaks adds to what we already knew about the techniques that the government and all the many, many associated organizations affiliated with the government use to try and manipulate, infiltrate, control, derail, deceive the general public. It's extremely interesting, extremely important document. So I'll be running through that. And, you know, I was actually a little bit amazed to see the degree to which this is now basically openly being practiced from within a certain level of the government. Another topic we'll be looking at today is on the research into the building collapses on September 11, 2001. Some very important developments here, and this is in relation to the work of William Pepper, attorney at law, who is pursuing NIST, that's the American scientific organization which published the official report into the collapses of World Trade Center buildings 1, 2, and 7. Now, William Pepper has uncovered some very, very important and very damning material, which has been described as a game changer by some of those who've been involved in this for many, many years. And it's particularly in relation to the actual building specifications for Building 7. And there is information here that was suppressed by NIST, which shows that their explanation for the collapse of that building does not work anymore structurally. From an engineering point of view, they were using faulty or incorrect, or some might say completely fraudulent, building blueprints that did not actually show the load-bearing capabilities of the building, and particularly the infamous Column 79, which was accused of being the weak point which allowed the building to come down. So we'll be getting into all of that in today's show. Okay, let's move on now to Chappelle Corby. There's been a number of developments in the whole saga over her release, over her interview with Channel 7, and the most important of which is the fact that her sister, Mercedes Corby, is now suing the Australian Federal Police over the interview for her sister, which was the subject of a police raid at the offices of Channel 7. She is suing them in what is believed to be a row over their attempts to seize money paid to her sister Chappelle for an exclusive TV interview. Lawyers for Ms. Corby, under her full name of Mercedes Pearl Esma Corby, have lodged the documents in the Federal Court's Sydney Registry. And this is an article published in The Telegraph on the 26th of February. The case has been listed for its first mention on the 27th of February. And I don't actually have any more details on it, other than to tell you that from the article here, Justice Jago, presiding over the mention of Mercedes' case, is also hearing the case lodged by Seven West Media against the AFP over the raids on Seven and in the offices of New Idea magazine last week. Seven is seeking details of the material the AFP presented to the magistrate who signed the search warrants. The media company has asked the court to review and set aside the warrants. Now, I have a more recent article, and this is from, actually, this is from the 25th of February. The previous article was actually on the 26th of February, so this is actually not a more recent article. But we do have here some more information about the AFP and about the ongoing wrangling with Channel 7. AFP says the Sydney raid was justified because it suspected Channel 7 held other documents relevant to the proceeds of crime matter. The Australian Federal Police will negotiate with Seven West Media before accessing hard drives seized in the Chappelle Corby proceeds of crime investigation. Senior AFP officials told a hearing on Monday night that the raid of Seven's Sydney premises last Tuesday was justified because they reasonably suspected the company held other documents that were relevant to the proceeds of crime matter. Okay, it's very important to understand what is going on here. We have the police in Australia, in New South Wales, behaving in the manner of fascist thugs. We have them bashing down the doors of a media organisation, seizing their hard drives, all in relation to an offence which is not an offence of the media organisation themselves. And this has been fully acknowledged. There are other articles here, which will all be up on our show notes, in which police fully acknowledge that Channel 7, the media organisation, cannot possibly be the subject of a criminal investigation because proceeds of crime laws do not affect media. They only affect the person who gets paid, not the one who does the paying. We're going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's a great pleasure to be with you today. We'll be right back after this break.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Welcome back, you with Truth News Radio. And I'm covering here some more fallout from the Chappelle Corby police raid and television interview and the various legal cases that are underway. With the Australian Federal Police now being acknowledged to have acted in a completely illegal manner, And yet in this strange, topsy-turvy, Kafkaesque world in which we live in, the behaviour of these organisations is never really subject to real scrutiny. We get a lot of smoke and noise, and you might think that something is going to transpire. You might think that there may be some form of justice, but in reality, there is not. Now, as I mentioned, there is the ongoing cases in court between Channel 7 and the Federal Police, between Mercedes Corby and the Federal Police. There is also a Senate estimates hearing. This is within the government itself over the case. And this happened as a result of the fact that it was immediately apparent to anyone who looked at the situation that that something improper had taken place. And I have an article here from February 21. Police apologise after falsely accusing a Seven lawyer. Attorney General George Brandis seeks an explanation after the AFP admits to an embarrassing error in warrant paperwork. The Australian Federal Police has admitted it falsely accused a senior lawyer of committing an offence in an order associated with the warrant to search Seven West Media offices. The Attorney General, George Brandis, raised concerns about the Federal Police's handling of the matter and said he would ask for an explanation. The claim related to Section 246 of the Proceeds of Crime Act 2002, which says an officer may apply to a magistrate for an order requiring a specified person to provide any information or assistance regarding the accessing of data. This may be sought if the person is reasonably suspected of possessing or having under his or her control tainted property or evidential material, or is the owner of the computer and has knowledge of the computer network or data storage methods. After the raid, Seven's representatives wrote to the AFP to complain that the lawyer, Justine Munsey, had been accused of an offence relating to the warrant paperwork. In a letter to Seven's legal representatives, the Federal Police admitted it had made a false claim. As you have noted, the Section 246 order addressed to Justine Munsey or any other employee states that the issuing magistrate, His Honour Magistrate Graham Curran, is satisfied that you are reasonably suspected of having committed the offence stated in the relevant warrant. Now, this is again from the AFP, from the horse's mouth itself. It says here, "We accept that this statement was incorrect and it should not have been made. It is a regrettable error, but it is an innocent word processing error." The Commissioner and the Australian Federal Police regret any hurt, embarrassment or offence which this error has caused. Now, innocent or not, I think the most important thing to understand is that I believe it is this error that allowed the police to go on a very, very aggressive mode to basically force entry into the buildings, because I don't think they would have been able to do that if they were simply pursuing inquiries with a potential witness, right? They wouldn't have had the power to do that. So they manipulated the law, they lied, they got a false pretext to then go in and seize hard drives from Seven West Media. So as a result of that, as you might imagine, you know, questions were being asked in Parliament. And, you know, you might think as a result of all of that, that there would actually be now some serious fallout. But unfortunately, that is not the case. The latest information that has come through is that the Attorney General, George Brandis, has actually exonerated the AFP and has said that nothing has been done that was inappropriate. He said that he has complete confidence in the AFP, and the whole thing is now just being sort of played down. It's all being watered down, whitewashed. They're kind of just sprinkling fairy dust all over it, you know, as they do. They just sprinkle fairy dust. And what is actually a major travesty of the law, a major, you know, violation of the law, an actual crime being committed by the police, is now just going to be politely forgotten. Memory hold. And, you know, we can speculate till the cows come home about why this is taking place, why the raid was conducted in the first place. I proposed a few suggestions last week, a few theories about that. One, that there is actually intimidation going on here, and that it was actually meant to scare off anyone coming forward, and certainly to scare Chappelle, and also to send a signal to the Indonesians that that we won't tolerate this information coming out. And when I say this information, what do I mean? Well, I mean the whole Chappelle Corby saga is now one of exposing police corruption. That's what it's all about. That's what the Expendable Project is all about. That's a major website with some anonymous independent researchers who've been collecting all this information, and each phase of the saga as it's as it happens, is then documented and put on the site. And I'm sure that everything that's happened around this this police raid is now going to go into the Expendable Project and just add one more chapter to it. And what they have compiled is an incredibly damning indictment of Australian police, of Australian democracy, of Australian law. Folks, you're living in a travesty of a democratic society. You're living in a society that is run by crooks, charlatans, and psychopaths. And what can I say? My job is to try and talk about this as much as possible. My job is to air this. And that is what most of us do who are trying to bring restitution. We talk. Don't underestimate its importance, because communication is the essence of human society. Don't ever let the powers that be suppress your point of view to the point where you don't dare to talk about things anymore. Now, what we've seen with the Chappelle Corby case is that people's ability to talk about this freely has been savagely undermined by a ruthless media campaign of discrediting and undermining the credibility of Chappelle's family, her immediate family, her brother, her father, anyone connected with her. This has been done to the extent of creating fictional accounts such as Sins of the Father, the ludicrous and completely baseless book by a journalist Eamon Duff, and of course the Channel 9 mockumentary that really is just a fictionalized potboiler, pulp fiction creation, which has the effect of making people embarrassed to even to positive view about this case, to have a positive view of Chappelle Corby. You're sort of embarrassed because you've been overwhelmed by all the mud that's been thrown at her. And, of course, you know, the old adage, throw enough mud and some of it will stick. And the mud that sticks makes it very hard for the average person to have an objective view. They see the mud that stuck to this victim, and they think, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to stick my neck out and say anything positive about her. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're just going to break. We'll be right back after the break with more important news. Don't go away. Thank you. welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. You can find us on the web at truthnews.com.au. So get over there and check us out. Have a look at our podcasts and have a look at our Facebook page and join in the discussion if you're interested in our take on the world. And particularly if you're an Australian, and maybe you're an Australian overseas, maybe you're listening to this show in Austin, Texas. Maybe you're an Australian living in Austin, Texas. It's conceivable. If you are, I'd love to hear from you because, of course, our show goes out in that part of the world, and you may have some very interesting things to add to our global research on this show. I would like to talk now about some new developments in the wake of, as part of, the incredible mountain of information that has come forward from Edward Snowden in regard to government surveillance and infiltration of our media. But this aspect of it that I'm going to talk about now takes it to another level, and it's certainly more than mere surveillance. This is direct manipulation and intervention. And it compounds other information that we've had now for several years that we knew of in regard to the Obama administration's work with Cass Sunstein in an area known as cognitive infiltration. And this, of course, had been proposed by Cass Sunstein as a way of pushing the government line, basically you might say propagandizing the general public by infiltrating forums and having people argue against conspiracy theories in the media. But now we have from a different source this quite extraordinary information. And this article was published by Glenn Greenwald, and it's titled How Covert Agents Infiltrate the Internet to Manipulate, Deceive, and Destroy Reputations. One of the many pressing stories that remains to be told from the Snowden archive is how Western intelligence agencies are attempting to manipulate and control online discourse with extreme tactics of deception and reputation destruction. It's time now to tell a chunk of that story, complete with the relevant documents. Over the last several weeks, I worked with NBC News to publish a series of articles about dirty trick tactics used by GCHQ's previously secret unit, JTRIG. That stands for Joint Threat Research Intelligence Group. These were based on four classified GCHQ documents presented to the NSA and the other three partners in the English-speaking Five Eyes Alliance. And I should point out here that the Five Eyes Alliance includes Australia. The Five Eyes actually includes the US, Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. Australia is deeply implicated in these activities, these criminal activities of the National Security Agency. Australia is involved. We are one of the worst countries. We are one of the worst offenders as a government. I'm not saying the average Australian personally is, but we do have to take some responsibility for our government, folks. I mean, you know, we have the responsibility to end tyranny. We have the responsibility to uphold international law and human rights. And I would say to everyone listening to this show, you have a responsibility to do something about your criminal government. You can't just sit back and say it's someone else's problem. This is what creates tyranny. This is what allows tyranny. As difficult as it is, and as painful as it is, you, dear listener, have to get up and do something about it. And you're going to say, what can I do? Yeah, it's tough, huh? It's always like that, right? look at what happened in Nazi Germany. I mean, imagine that. Imagine if you were a good and a decent person living in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. What were you going to do? You could say, well, it's just too hard, and that's actually what most of them said. That's why we had World War II. That's why the world was destroyed. That's why 100 million people died, right? Because the good people in Germany didn't know what to do. They just let it happen. They just sat back and said, okay, well, you know, it's terrible, but we're just going to be quiet and just hopefully it'll finish and, you know, we'll be able to get on with our lives. Okay, that approach has to end. You have to stand up and you've got to do something and you've got to stop tyranny. The Five Eyes Alliance includes United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. And these countries are all involved in crimes against humanity. These countries have been involved. These countries are the key participants in invasions, in resource grabbing of other nations, of outrageous trade practices, of genetically modified foods, destroying the genome. They are also countries which have been outposts of empire themselves. Britain, of course, having been the source of one of the great imperial powers of the world. But most of these countries, US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, we were offshoots of the empire. And that empire still exists. It's just in a different form. You won't see it through the political structure, but you will certainly see it through the geopolitical influence that it wields and all the corporations who act on its behalf. So let's just return now to our main story here. So we're just talking here about the document and the research by Glenn Greenwald, which is related to the Five Eyes Alliance. And as he says here, we at The Intercept, and that's the publication that that holds this article, we at The Intercept are publishing another document entitled The Art of Deception, Training for Online Covert Operations. By publishing these stories one by one, our NBC reporting highlighted some of the key discrete revelations: the monitoring of YouTube and Blogger, the targeting of Anonymous with the very same DDoS attacks they accuse hacktivists of using, the use of honey traps, which is luring people into compromising situations using sex, and destructive viruses. But in this article, I want to focus and elaborate on the overarching point revealed by all these documents, namely that these agencies are attempting to control, infiltrate, manipulate, and warp online discourse, and in doing so, are compromising the integrity of the internet itself. Among the core self-identified purposes of JTRIG are two tactics. One, to inject all sorts of false material onto the internet in order to destroy the reputation of its targets. And two, to use social sciences and other techniques to manipulate online discourse and activism to generate outcomes it considers desirable. To see how extremist these programs are, just consider the tactics they boast of using to achieve those ends. False flag operations, posting material to the internet and falsely attributing it to someone else. Fake victim blog posts, pretending to be a victim of the individual whose reputation they want to destroy. And posting negative information on various forums. Here is one illustrative list of tactics from the latest GCHQ document we're publishing today. Disruption, Operational Playbook. This is an official document here from one of these secret sources. Infiltration operation, ruse operation, set piece operation, false flag operation, false rescue operation, disruption operation, sting operation. And there are a number of screens here which look like PowerPoint slides that basically just look like a textbook course in dirty tricks. And it involves really, really definitely criminal activity, folks. We're going to break. You with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back, you with Truth News Radio. And I'm having a look today at an article by Glenn Greenwald, which explores more of the really, really disturbing revelations that we've had from Edward Snowden, with source material, with documented and verified source material that shows that the National Security Agency and its affiliates overseas, the Five Eyes, that includes Australia, ladies and gentlemen, are involved in dirty tricks of all kinds. They're infiltrating the internet. They're infiltrating online discussions, social networking. They're using various tactics to bring people down and to spread false information. They describe in one of these documents something known as an online covert action, using online techniques to make something happen in the real or cyber world. The four Ds, again, this is from a PowerPoint-style presentation. The four Ds: deny, disrupt, degrade, deceive. Critically, the targets for this deceit and reputation and destruction extend far beyond the customary roster of normal spycraft. Hostile nations and their leaders, military agencies and intelligence services. In fact, the discussion of many of these techniques occurs in the context of using them in lieu of traditional law enforcement against people suspected but not charged or convicted of ordinary crimes. Or, more broadly still, hacktivism, meaning those who use online protest activity for political ends. The title page of one of these documents reflects the agency's own awareness that it is pushing the boundaries by using cyber offensive techniques against people who have had nothing to do with terrorism or national security threats, and indeed centrally involves law enforcement agents who investigate ordinary crimes. So here what we're doing is we're taking the apparatus of people who are supposed to be involved in investigating crimes, and we're actually getting them involved in political suppression. We're basically using these people as these employees of the NSA as gangsters. I mean, how is this different to the mafia setting up some guy in a brothel with an underaged girl, or as depicted in the Godfather movies, having such a subject who is actually a politician, having such a subject wake up with the girl dead beside him, and then of course the mafia comes in and says, we can help you out. Of course, that's actually blackmail. This article doesn't specifically talk about blackmail, but when you talk about bringing someone down through false accusations, it's certainly an aspect of that, and I'm sure that blackmail would follow from that as well. It's not actually documented here, but I'm willing to say I'm sure that blackmail would also be a part of the repertoire of such people, because they've demonstrated the lengths that they'll go to deceive and disrupt and destroy people's reputations. And I'd also like to point out that the use of deception on the internet does not stop at disrupting through discrediting people's reputations or through direct attacks on people. The deceptions also include the creation of false narratives to discredit entire movements. And this is not really the subject of the information here in Glenn Greenwald's article. I wish there were more research done to that because it's extremely important. This is the whole area of disinformation where these same agencies would be involved in creating false narratives to make the entire community of conspiracy researchers look ridiculous and to basically lure the more gullible into completely fake and fabricated conspiracy ideas. And I have absolutely no doubt that this is going on. I do hope one day we can get the proof of it, but I'm sure it's going on. We have so many ludicrous conspiracy theories that have popped up. The Sandy Hook truther movement, to me, is one such case, and I really do feel that those behind it or those who seeded it were acting somehow within the auspices of this kind of disruption campaign, and it was very effective, the Sandy Hook truther movement, in making all conspiracy researchers look ridiculous. There was something else I saw recently floating around on Facebook, and it was some claim that Kate Middleton, the wife of Prince William, that she wasn't really pregnant, and that there was something, she had a fake, baby. Just a conspiracy theory of no meaning. You could go into all kinds of meanings as to why someone might be saying that, but with no real evidence behind it. But somehow it triggers people's desire to get involved into speculating and thinking about things that may have been suppressed in the news, and then makes everyone look ridiculous. And I've often said for many years that I believe that the chemtrail phenomenon is another such case of deliberate deception seeded into the media with enough gullible people going along with it that it just continues on its own trajectory. Big subject, but the subject of disinformation and how disinformation works to destabilize and disempower activism is one thing that we really, really need to research. It is so important. And if there's anyone out there who can contribute to that, I would very much like to hear from you. Now, I have one more story I need to cover before the end of today's show, before the end of the first hour of today's show. I do remember, very important interview coming up in hour two with Bob Carter, expert in paleoclimate research, who just blows the lid on a whole lot of nonsense about climate change. So really, really important interview there in the second hour. But let's talk now about the recent work by Dr. William Pepper, attorney at law. And I have an article here from ae911truth.org. On behalf of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, esteemed human rights attorney William Pepper has written to the U.S. Department of Commerce's Office of the Inspector General demanding that the National Institute of Standards and Technology be directed to produce a corrected analysis and report on the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7. The demand was triggered by the discovery that the official steel fabrication drawings of Building 7's construction, released in response to an FOIA request, reveal critical structural features that were inexplicably missing from consideration in the NIST report on the collapse of Building 7. Specifically, as explained in the recent article, Maladministration, by David Cole, upon close examination of the depiction in Frankel Shop drawing 9114 of the connection between column 79 and the adjacent girder A connection that NIST claimed had failed, one can see another steel element in the drawing that NIST had never mentioned, and that is a stiffener plate. And these stiffener plates were specified at the end of the girder and welded into place to both sides of the web and to the bottom flange. And I've actually got some engineering drawings here which are published on the website that show these stiffener plates and how they directly connect to column 79. Now, of course, the infamous Column 79, one might say, is the one that is the column that NIST claimed was the weak point that allowed the complete collapse of Building 7 to occur as a result of fire on the afternoon of September 11, 2001. Dr. Pepper noted that if a satisfactory response is not received in a timely manner, he will be calling the Inspector General personally. The OIG responded to Pepper by referring the matter to NIST. Of course, referring the matter to the agency accused of the fraudulent omissions in the first place is clearly unacceptable. If headway is not made there, litigation could follow. Tony Zambotti, a mechanical engineer involved in structural design in his professional work and an AE911 Truth petition signatory, has stated that he is asking people to forward the initial letter from Bill Pepper and the response from the Department of Commerce to all members of Congress, asking that they ensure that NIST is responsive in an open and transparent way. This is the political component that William Pepper said would be important in order to apply enough pressure to ensure an appropriate response when we first discussed sending the letter to the Inspector General. Previously, Zambotti had noted that the discovery of the girder stiffener plates is a game changer because this drawing covers the exact location where NIST says the collapse initiated, and the stiffeners on the girder would make the NIST alleged collapse mechanism impossible. Folks, this is forensic level information. This is a game changer. It's a small point, but sometimes the smallest points are the most significant. A couple of things to note here. The building drawings that NIST relied on were faulty, wrong, or fraudulent. This is a very, very serious breach of their professional duty. So this is something that is going to have repercussions that go on and on and on. So we'll be definitely keeping an eye on that. We are going to break now. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Hour two, we're having a full hour discussion with Professor Bob Carter about climate change. It is going to be a real eye-opener, folks. So when we come back from break, I look forward to your company.